that Jesus uses. If you want to take out the insert inside your folder, if you guys want to go back and sit with your families, all that kind of stuff's good. But you'll notice in there that I put this verse in there for you, Luke 22:20, where he says, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people." Now we look at that and it doesn't mean so much to us. We maybe don't fully understand that as the men who were in that room would have understood it. These guys who were with him. I gave you a definition there. A covenant is a binding and solemn agreement to do or keep from doing a specified thing. But to these guys, this covenant would have gone all the way back to the covenant that God made with Abraham, where he said, "I'm going to make of you a great nation," right? And God made this covenant with him. And then throughout the process of the early years of the people of Israel, as Moses was bringing them out, constantly you see God renewing this covenant with his people. If you will follow me, if you will keep me as your one and only true God, then I will bless you. I will keep you, bless you in this land you're going into, right? And then he even goes on and tells them, and after you blow it, I mean, he's God, he knew what was going to happen, but I mean, you kind of think, wow, that's not throwing out a whole lot of hope there that they're going to make it. But he tells them, after you blow it, if you turn back to me with your whole heart, I will again gather you together and bless you, right? And so these men, that these close followers of Jesus, the 11 who were left there with him in that upper room, they would have understood a covenant with God is something that their entire existence was based on. You know, it was their claim to a right to God's family. I mean, it was what drove the very morals by which they lived. I mean, it was basically their very identity was wrapped up in this covenant that God said, "You are my people." And so when Jesus said a new covenant between God and man, I'm guessing they perked up pretty quick. A new covenant, wait, what's going on here? Right? This is the new covenant. But he goes on, an agreement confirmed by my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice. Jesus hadn't died yet. We have a definite advantage over the guys who were sitting in that room at that time. They maybe understood the whole idea of covenant better than we do, but they're still a little confused as to what's going on here. Right? And so they're like, okay, there's a new covenant between God and us. You know, does it change the old one? You know, I mean, you can imagine the questions that must have been going through their minds. But the new covenant, confirmed by his blood, we know it was just later on that Jesus would be arrested and he was crucified and he died, he poured out his blood, right? And that act of love, that act of sacrifice, that was the start of this new covenant. And the new covenant, as we learn, as we read through the New Testament, that new covenant is kind of the same as the old. It's if you follow after him, if you really claim God as your God and you seek him and you follow him, you accept Jesus Christ and his gift, right? Then you are his people. And you ultimately are going to receive his inheritance, right? So Jesus is saying, I am again wanting to enter into a covenant relationship with you. And as I thought about that, I thought, how amazing is this that God, the creator of all, wants desperately for us to be in a deep, meaningful, committed relationship with him. I think, man, it's sad to say, but sometimes I think it's God wants that relationship more than I do, because he's obviously a lot smarter than I am, maybe. Or maybe it's just because he's perfect and for him to have that relationship is not such a up and down thing. But I think that is amazing and beautiful, and that same idea, that covenant, is what brings meaning and purpose into my life. Jesus actually was so into this committed relationship with his disciples that there was a time where Jesus' mother, Mary, and his brothers came, and they were trying to get to him as he was teaching. Right? And the people came in and said, "Hey, your mother and your brothers are outside waiting for you." And Jesus asked, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And then he pointed to his disciples and said, "Look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus said, this relationship, this covenant right here, is the most important relationship. That's how important it was to him, this relationship between him and his followers, his disciples. So this new covenant that Jesus is speaking of is a covenant of grace, forgiveness, inheritance, right? We get to be part of his family. We get to inherit his eternal kingdom. Ultimately, it's a covenant of love, isn't it? And so, once again, this covenant is the very thing that gives us our hope and our purpose and our identity. Just like these Jewish men would have understood that to be the case with that covenant that came from God to Abraham and to Moses and to Joshua and all the people. So that's the kind of relationship that Jesus wants to have with us. And so then I thought, well, in John 13:34, Jesus said, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment." So we talked about this new covenant, and he says, "I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other." So how did Jesus love them? With this incredible, deep, committed relationship, right? With this covenant of love. And he says, "As I have loved you, you should love each other." And so I look at that and I say, well, I don't think I do that very well. I think I definitely struggle with doing this. And I look at our society as a whole, and I say, man, that's the last thing our society is doing, is any kind of committed, covenantal, loving relationship, right? I mean, that's so foreign to our society. And unfortunately, I think the fact that that is so foreign to our society has invaded our churches, and it's become foreign to us as the followers of Christ. But it was so central and so essential to what Jesus calls us to be as his followers. You know, the last few weeks, David's been talking about what it is to be a Christian, right? What is that really supposed to look like? And I think as we read through the New Testament, we see that that is supposed to look very different in our relationships with each other than what the world's relationships look like. I think of these as the one another's of the New Testament. And there are so many different things that are throughout there, starting with Jesus teaching them and going through all the other authors, all the other disciples as they taught, all these things, all the teaching that was given to the church, you know, these epistles, these letters that were written, letters of instruction of how to do this whole Christianity thing together. It's packed full of these one another's, or these each other's. And we're going to take a look at a few of those this morning. So like I said, you've got that handout there. If you want to, you can fill these in. Hopefully it's useful for you. But the first one we're going to look at here is that we are supposed to serve each other. Serve each other. Mark 10:43 through 45 says, "But among you it will be different It's what we just talked about, right? Our world does relationships one way. God's calling us to do them differently. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So this concept was not only taught by Jesus, but it was modeled by Jesus. This idea of this relationship being costly. These deep relationships with each other require some unselfishness. I don't really like that word. Personally, I'm a pretty selfish person if I'm left to my own ways, right? I mean, you can ask my wife. She'll vouch for that one. Yeah. Maybe a little too enthusiastically she'll vouch for that. But the natural way of our sin nature is to be selfish and to want others to serve us, right? But that's not what Jesus says. He says, among you, notice he didn't say should be different. He said it will be different. If you are truly following Christ, it will be different in your life. You will serve others. And you think, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? That's one thing I never want to do is come to God's Word, grab some concept, and then not take the time to think about, well, what does that look like? How does that really look lived out in my life? And so we all have different circumstances, different lives that we're living. And so for each of us, that may look completely different because we're going to have different opportunities to serve other people, right? Some things will be the same. Every time it will take a little bit of self-sacrifice. Every time it's going to require probably some time, which we all hold pretty precious in our society, right? We don't leave a lot of space for any of those extra inconvenient things that go on. But individually, it'll look different. And so I left you a space there in your note sheet where you can fill in, this week I will. Who is that person that you think God is calling you to serve this week? And how are you going to do that? What's that going to look like specifically for you? And write it down there. Write it down and then do it. let's be about doing what Jesus tells us to do. So the next one I want to talk about here is we are called to share each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2. Share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. Now again, if somebody's got a burden they're carrying, my natural instinct is to want to kind of avoid that. Right? There's enough, you know, heavy chaos and problems going on, and I don't, you know, do I really need to take on someone else's? You know, do I really need more issues to... Yes, I do, because I'm commanded to do this, to share each other's burdens. And that could be anything. Somebody could be lonely. That's a burden. Somebody could be filled with guilt over something. That's a burden. Somebody, you know, could have, you know, a financial burden. Somebody could have a health issue, you know, that is burdening their life. It could be any number of things. And it doesn't matter what it is. We're to be involved in relationships with each other where when somebody has any kind of a burden, we are there to share in that with them. And what does that look like? What does that look like for you? Who do you know of who's struggling with a burden and maybe you've just been, you know, oh, well, yeah, I'll pray for you about that and trying to keep your distance and, You know, maybe you remember to, oh, hey, God, help them with that. And maybe you don't even do that much. But who is it that you know, Christian brother or sister, who you are in a relationship with, where you say, I see that you're hurting in this area and I want to be there to help you. And here is what I am going to do specifically to share this burden with you. Again, I left you a space there. Write that down. This week I will. What does that look like for you? I don't want to rush through quite so quick. I want to give you a chance to write. I always get in trouble with my wife because I rush. So I want to give you time to fill that out. All right, everybody finished writing? Okay, all right. So the next one, in James chapter 5, verse 16, we see two of these things. The first one that we see is confess your sins to each other. And the other one we see there is pray for each other. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You ever wonder about that? You ever think, well, what difference does it make if I pray for the person or not? God's sovereign. He's going to either help them the way they want or not, right? Sometimes it's easy to feel that way, but that's not what the Bible says. It says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Pray for each other. Now, before we go on with pray for each other, I'm gonna hit on this one that's really uncomfortable here, where it said confess your sins to each other. Now, I don't think we're going to, you know, take turns standing up and, you know, hi, my name's Jason, I have this problem. But you need to have people in your life that you are in these type of relationships with. These deep, committed, these covenant relationships where you can say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I've got this sin and it's just, man, it's really just kicking me around. I need help, right? I mean, we think, well, we got God, we got the Holy Spirit, we've got all the help we need. Well, He gives us others for a reason. Because we need more help. Because we're so far beyond gone sometimes that we need those people in our lives who we can say, hey, here's what's going on. Do you have people like that in your life? Do you have relationships that are so committed, so foundational that you think, man, I can tell this person whatever struggle I have going on, and they're not going to judge me, they're going to love me, and they're going to help me? Do you have that? Are you that person for somebody else? Because that's what we're supposed to be. That's the kind of relationships that God calls us to. Ones that are that deep. Goes a little beyond how's the weather and, you know, who won the ball game yesterday, doesn't it? And when we start to have those kind of deep relationships, praying for each other is kind of a natural outpouring that's going to come, isn't it? When you care about somebody that deeply, you're going to pray for them when they're struggling with something. But here's what I want us to do this morning is, like I said, we don't have to get into the whole confessing sin thing, because there should be some very specific people in your lives that you have that relationship with. But praying for one another is something we can do, whether the relationship is that super close covenant relationship or whether it's just any believer or unbeliever for that matter. So what I want to do is I want to just take a couple minutes just get together with some people you're sitting around, whatever, and let's just take a couple minutes and pray for each other. You know, if you're not comfortable praying, don't feel like you have to. You know, this isn't to make you, well, maybe a little bit uncomfortable. If it's not something you're used to doing, it's good time to get used to it. But, you know, maybe there is something you want to share, a burden you're going through or whatever, and you want somebody to pray for you about it. Or maybe there's nothing in particular. You can still pray for each other. So let's just take a couple minutes now, and let's just pray for each other. Something wonderful about having somebody pray for you. And about being able to do that for each other. It's a powerful thing. It's something we're commanded to do. Such a simple thing, and yet so many times we don't. Well, this next one's one that's maybe not so simple. Ephesians 5:21 says, "And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." I don't know about you, but I don't naturally do very well at the concept of submitting to somebody else. But that doesn't really matter. If it's what I naturally am good at or not, it's something that we're told to do, is to submit to each other. And if we're having these real Christ-like relationships with each other, that's a big part of it, is we have to be willing to submit to each other. It's basically giving somebody else the right to speak over your life. Giving somebody the right to say the things that are not comfortable. And it's supposed to be a two-way thing. And these relationships, these essential relationships that we're supposed to be having as the body of Christ, we're supposed to be submitting to each other. In Hebrews 10, 24-25, it says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." I think these two kind of flow one into another. As we submit to each other, part of that is this encouraging each other. And it's encouraging each other in the sense that we are cheering for each other, celebrating each other's successes, that we are celebrating each other's efforts. But beyond that, that first part there where he says, think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Part of our job is to encourage each other to live more and more like Christ. And unless we have that relationship where we are in submission to each other, it doesn't work real well for somebody to come and tell me, "Look, I think you need to be doing this for Christ." Because I'm not going to hear it if I'm not willing to be in that relationship of submission towards God speaking through that person. And that's what it is we have to realize that God uses other believers to deliver his message into our lives. And so we need to be in these relationships with other believers who are seeking God, who are spending that time with God, who are hearing from God, and then allowing them to speak to us. And so I think these ones go very much so together. But this whole idea of encouraging each other, it can look so many different ways. It really can, you know. But I want you to think of somebody in your life who maybe really needs some encouragement. Whether it's encouragement to start doing things differently, whether it's encouragement to persevere through something that's not easy, or encouragement in the sense that they've done something amazing and maybe they just need somebody to celebrate that in them in their lives, you know, to appreciate, you know, this gift of God that's been placed in them, whatever it is. But I want you to think of somebody who this week you're going to encourage, and specifically how you are going to encourage this person this week. And again, I left you up space there on your note sheet. Write that down. Write it down. Who's this person that you're going to go out of your way, maybe even to the point of it being a little uncomfortable, and you're going to encourage them in their walk with Christ? Well, there's quite a few more each others as you go through the New Testament, but those are just a few specific ones that I wanted to talk about this morning, because I think those in a lot of ways are so contrary to the way we live, to our society, to the way life is commonly done. And I think we need to stop doing things the way they're commonly done and start doing things the way that God wants us to do them. Sarah and I have actually been in process of trying to figure out what this looks like for years now. We've been in process of trying to enter into these deep covenant relationships with other believers and sort through the awkwardness of it being not what we're used to, not the normal thing. And, you know, there's a lot of forgiveness involved, because you hang around with me more than a couple minutes, you're bound to be disappointed. You know, I'm gonna offend you in some way, or at least not meet your expectations or something. You know, I mean, it's part of being in relationship with people. So there's a lot of forgiveness involved. There's a lot of uncomfortableness. You know, what about that person who, you know, needs somebody to tell them that what they're doing isn't what the Bible says they should be doing? That's an uncomfortable one. You know, you love somebody deeply and you need to tell them, but it's still not easy. It's not. If it's too easy, then maybe you don't really love that person very much, right? I mean, it's difficult. Or what about that person who has some real issues that they're trying to work through, and they need help, and it takes time? That's a tough one. You know, it's like, man, it's just time and time and more time, right? What about all these other things I want to do, right? What about that football game that's on? But seriously, I mean, there are things about this that take effort, a lot of effort. That's why they're not the normal way we do life, right? But these are things where if we begin to have relationship with each other like this, truly loving each other in the way that Christ loved us, the very next verse after Jesus told them, you know, the new commandment I give to you, to love each other as I have loved you, the next verse says that this is how they will know that you are my disciples. That kind of love is the very essence of our witness of Christ and of who He is. And if we're not doing that, then we are not properly reflecting Christ to the world around us. And as you go out and you meet people, and maybe you happen to mention that you're a Christian, that's the big negative reaction you get, is from people who have known somebody who said they were a Christian who was not representing Christ well, right? Oh, well, all Christians are hypocrites. Yeah, I am, but I'm forgiven, and I'm trying not to be. But there are those who go out and they don't love the way Christ loved. And that's where the whole sharing the message of Christ falls apart. I can't come and tell you that I follow a God of love and not be loving, because I'm not really following a God of love then, am I? So my encouragement to you is get uncomfortable. Get uncomfortable in your relationships. Find some people. It could be people you're already close to. It could be people you don't even know. It doesn't matter. Some people who also feel that it is important to begin to live in godly relationships, in these deep covenant relationships. Find some people and commit to doing it. Like I said, Sarah and I have been doing this for a while, and we have some families from our church here that we get together with. And maybe you're like, well, I don't even know where to start. Come see me. Come join us. And we'll do this together. Now maybe some of you are going, you're the last person I'd want to do that with. That's okay. Go find somebody else that you would want to do it with. But the important thing is we all need to be doing this. This is God's instruction into our lives. If you are going to truly be a follower of Christ, this is not optional. And yet we treat it like it is. But it's not. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much.